I desire your prayers as we look into the Word of God for just a little while. The Apostle Paul made the statement, he said, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." And I want to talk about, by the help of the Lord, in your prayers, I'd like to talk about discipleship and how important it is and what it means to us to follow the Lord in the ways that He walked, in the ways that He would have us to walk. And so I would like to read, first of all, to get refresh our memories, I'd like to read the 53rd chapter, in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And I say I'd like to talk about discipline this morning and discipleship. Discipline is taken from discipleship. And so, if we're going to follow the Lord, we're going to have to bring ourselves into subjection to His will and to His purpose in our life. It says in Isaiah 53, it's a very familiar chapter, but it says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" I suppose that Jesus, when He was here on earth, was the most misunderstood, most rejected, most everything that He did and the purpose that He had, the people refused to hear what He had to say. But I'm glad this morning that I've heard His word. Glad you've heard His word. I'm glad you're saved this morning. And I'm thankful to know that what He accomplished on Calvary, He accomplished for each and every one of us. It says, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Even though that He was rejected of men, Scripture goes on to say that, and even though His person was refused as being holy and the Son of God, even though His mission on earth was misunderstood, I'd like to point out that God still trusted Him. He was faithful in all of His house, the Scripture says. And I think about how faithful that He was to go in the face of adversity and the face of people accusing Him of things that He wasn't guilty of. And in the face of all different kinds of things, they even called Him a common rabbi. Some of them said He was just a common rabbi. And yet He went about doing things that no man had ever done before. And says, "For ye shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. As all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before all the shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was He stricken. He made His grave with the wicked and with me, and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. The scripture over in John 13th chapter says that he knew the Father, and the Father had given all things into his hands, and he was come from God, and he went from God. The beauty of his ministry is that when he came here to minister to man, fallen man, a man that needed to hear what God had to say, that he knew who he was. He knew that he was come from God. And he knew that he was going to go back from God, back to God. And so he was faithful in everything that he did for us. And I think about, in order to be a disciple, in order to be a follower of Christ, we're going to have to be faithful, and we're going to have to be in the place where he can trust us with whatever he permits to come our way, whatever he chooses to do with our life. We don't always know what that may be, but God trusted him with something of the most important thing that this world has ever seen and ever known, and that is the plan of salvation. He was faithful to go through with that. He was faithful to suffer many things. He was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. And I was thinking about a little bit about that, and I thought about how that we do suffer sometimes. We all get afflictions, and we all have aches and pains, and as we get older, you're going to have more of them. I can attest to that. But I'm thinking about the man of sorrows, and I thought about life in general and what it means to be a follower of Christ. And I want us to consider the fact that his sorrows run a lot deeper. There was a lot more than just suffering afflictions at the hands of men. You know, rejection is never anything that anyone would want to happen to them. Rejection of men, to be falsely accused of man. And God trusted him, and he surrendered himself to the Father. But that suffering that he suffered, the man of sorrows, went way beyond the afflictions to the point of what people had to say, what people did to him, how they treated him, how they rejected him, how they talked about him, and how they refused him. You know, those things can hurt. Did you know that? Do you know what people say about you? They can hurt you. They can bring great sorrow upon your heart. They can bring discouragement upon your heart. And this man, he was faithful in all of his house, and faithful to administer the plan of salvation to you and I, even though he faced the sorrows, even though he faced the wagging tongues and all the things that the people had to say. He was faithful to go all the way to Calvary for you and I. He had surrendered himself to the Lord. I think about discipleship and what it means to really follow the Lord. It's going to take a surrendering in our life. It's going to take a humbling down in each and every one of our hearts and surrendering to his will and to his purpose. I think about the plans that we make in our life. We all have plans. We make plans. My pastor, when I was growing up, he said, you make your plans and you put them down in pencil because that's easy to erase. Your plans may not be God's plans, and you want his will to be done in your life, you're going to have to surrender to his will. What about the times that I've had maybe afflictions upon my body, and I've went to the Lord, and I've prayed to the Lord, and I've asked him to heal me, and I've asked him to do this, and I've asked him to do that, and he hasn't done it. What if I've been up and I've been prayed for two or three or four or five times, and the Lord still hasn't healed my body or done what I needed done? Are we still going to trust him? Can he trust me to be faithful, even though he doesn't come at the time that I think that he ought to come? Even though that he doesn't put his hand on my problem at that time, can he still trust me that I'll be faithful to him? I was thinking about the many places that I've been, the much traveling that I have done in the past, and you can go to different places, people, you see people that you haven't seen for a long time. But I'm thankful for their faithfulness. I'm thankful that even though no matter what they've been through, no matter what they've faced in life, they're still following the Lord. They're still encouraged. They're still faithful at their post of duty. Can he trust me? Can he trust you to be in that kind of a place where you're faithful, willing to wait on the Lord? Must be willing to wait on the Lord, folks. It takes a surrendering of my heart. When I don't understand, when I don't know why, when I don't know what His will really is, when adversity comes, and when people talk about me, when people mistreat me, when people use me, I know a little bit of personal of what I'm talking about this morning. Those things happen to us, each and every one in our lives. And when these adversities come, and thoughts come into your mind, don't they? You get to thinking about this, you get to thinking about that, and you can get discouraged and get all down, but folks, I want to encourage you, lift yourself up in the Lord. The Sunday school lesson was about Mount Zion and being exalted in the mountain of holiness, and you just lift up your eyes unto the Lord, for He is the one that is your helper this morning. But I think about adversity and the things that we face in life, and I thought about Esau, and Esau, he didn't face it very good, did he? We've said here many times, we're people of choice. We are where we are today because of the choices that we've made in life. And Esau, he made a bad choice. He faced an adversity. He thought he was hungry. And he was so hungry to the point where he was willing to sell his birthright. No self-control went up against the flesh. The flesh was hungry, he wanted something to eat, and he sold the most precious possession that he had in order to get something to eat. Can God trust us? He couldn't trust Esau because Esau wasn't trustable. But can he trust you and me? Can he trust us to surrender to him? Esau's decisions and his choices, it cost him. And I think about another man in the Bible, and his name was Peter. And Peter, he was very sure of himself and very strong, and he was always quick to answer the Lord and those kind of things. But there come a time when the Lord had mercy, and I call it mercy. He had mercy on Peter when Peter thought that he knew what he was going to do. He said, Lord, I'll follow you all the way, even unto death. Remember that? Is that our burden? Is that our desire this morning that we're going to follow the Lord all the way? We're going to be disciples of the Lord. Folks, we're living in a very evil world today. We're living in a changing world. The tide of this world and the times of this world, folks, they're getting very evil out there. And you and I have to live in this world. Are we going to stand true? Are we going to stand faithful? I'll follow you, Peter said, even unto death. Jesus told him, you're going to be sifted. Peter, Satan has desired to have you to sift you as wheat. Do you know that Satan desires to have every one of us this morning? He desires to sift us as wheat. And the Lord knew that Satan was going to do that. He knew Peter was in that place. And maybe Peter could have said, Lord, we'll do something that I won't be sifted. But the Lord knew that Peter needed to be sifted. And the Lord knows sometimes, He knows all the time, whether you and I need to be sifted or not. The things that we face, the difficulties, the trials, the test of life, and all these kind of things. But He said, I have prayed for you. I pray for you. I'm thankful this morning the Lord has prayed for me. He's prayed for every one of us. When He was out there praying the prayer that we read in the 17th chapter of St. John, He was praying for every one of us. He was praying that we'd be one. He's praying the church would be one. He's praying His people would be encouraged and that we would see the glory that He has with the Father. He prayed for all these kind of things. He knew He was going to the cross. And yet, well, through it all, He prayed for the things that was important to His heart. We were important to His heart. Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you. And I'm glad that he did. And Satan went through it, Peter went through it, and he denied the Lord three times. He did it. He denied the Lord three times. And I think about him, and I think about Judas that turned the Lord in one night. I think about the difference between the two people. It's a choice, isn't it? It comes down to discipleship. It comes down to discipline. I'm going to discipline myself. It's this. This is an adversity. It's a trial to me. It's difficult to handle and control. But I'm going to discipline myself, and I'm going to be what I ought to be in the face of all of these kind of things. We know what the Bible teaches us, and we know what the Bible says about things. But Peter, he disciplined himself that third time whenever the cock crew, and he turned and he faced the Lord. And the Lord turned and he faced him. I can't even imagine how Peter must have felt. But the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly, didn't he? You know, it wouldn't hurt us sometimes to surrender ourselves to the Lord, go out and weep bitterly for the things that we need to pray for. I think about another soul in the Bible, and her name was Mary. She's an amazing young lady. Mary. God trusted her, didn't he? He sent an angel and he told her that his son was going to come. Could God trust you that way? Could God trust me that way? Could God trust me to deal with going through something that people were wagging their tongues? People were talking about? Here she is, a virgin, and she's pregnant. She's going to have a baby and all these kind of things. And God trusted Mary. And then whenever Mary went to Simeon, Simeon said, a sword is going to thrust through your heart. He trusted her all the way through the childbearing. He trusted her all the way through Christ's ministry. He was a man of sorrows, and he trusted her through all those kind of things that he had to face. Oh, how it would hurt a mother's heart whenever she would see her son being treated the way he was treated. How it would hurt a mother's heart to see how her son was treated whenever they took him out of the garden and took him into the hall and began to crown him with thorns and tear his clothes off, put a robe on him and beat him with stripes and all these kind of things. Oh, how it must have hurt. But he trusted her. She was faithful. She stayed in it all the way. She never gave up. She never let down. But she was in it all the way. And a sword was to thrust to her. Can you imagine her at the cross? She was at the cross. And she looked up and saw her son. Can you imagine that sword? That thing that pierced her heart. That thing that she loved so dear. Folks, we're going to find in our walk of life there are things that we love dearly. Things that are important to us. Things that are valuable to us. And God may call them to record against us someday. Just as he did Mary. She had a son that was born to die. Folks, we're born to die too, every one of us. We're all going to face that death. But our death will never provide for the world what the death of Christ did. It'll never provide for that salvation. Yet Mary was faithful in all that she did. She took those things that the angel had said to her, and the Bible says she pondered them in her heart. There's just some things, folks, sometimes we need to stop everything we're doing. We need to get real quiet. We need to ponder them. We need to think over these things. We need to think of the reason behind it, the purpose behind it. Why this is happening? Why is it happening to me? You know, the Word of God is God's Word, and there is no word in it that's just a filler. It all is in there for a purpose. It's all in there for us to learn and for us to understand. And when God deals with us and works with us, folks, he doesn't play with us like a kitten plays with a ball of yarn. He got a purpose for everything that he does for us. Discipleship, following the Lord. Be ye therefore followers of Christ. Did God trust Mary? Yes, he trusted her. Is God wanting to trust us? Yes, he's wanting to trust us. In being faithful in all of our house. May not fit in my plans. May not be what I would want to do. May not be what I would choose. Maybe it may not be how I would live life. But it's to please God. To glorify God. That's why we're here, you know. I can read you several verses where it says we're here to glorify God. We're here to honor him. And I think about another man, and I probably won't talk about anyone else, but I want to talk about Paul, the Apostle Paul. He was a good example, wasn't he? Do you know that he still had a lot to learn? This is discipleship. He still had a lot to learn after the Damascus Road experience. That was just the beginning. And yet the Lord in his mercy and knowing what we can contain and what we can handle and what we can understand and what we can grasp a hold of, and we're all different, he knows what we can grasp a hold of. And so he's faithful from day to day, from trial to trial, from test to test, to bring us to the place where he can trust us with something precious. Mary, he trusted with something so precious, the Son of God that came into the world. He wants to trust you and I with something precious. But Paul, the things that he learned, how did he learn them? He learned them, he was stoned. He was whipped. He was put in prison. He was shipwrecked. And he was left to be all alone with his thoughts and in his mind. Everybody forsook him. Was thinking about this man of sorrows when he was hanging on the cross. I was reading it this morning at home. It says that he looked up and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know that's a lonely place? Have you ever been there? It's a lonely place when you feel like the one that you were depending on, the ones you were looking to, the ones that you love, the ones that were so important to you. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? My precious Savior, your Savior, folks, he had to go it alone, if you will. He had to handle all the suffering and all the sorrows and all the things, yet God, and he bore all of our sins upon the cross of Calvary. And God trusted him, and he was faithful in all of his house. I'm thankful for that too. Do you suppose, in thinking about Paul again, do you suppose that he learned discipline by striving or fighting against all the things that he was into? Do you suppose he would learn by fighting against it? He probably had a lot of questions. He probably wondered why this and he wondered why that. But he knew God had his hand on him. Do we know God's got his hand on us this morning? Do we know that we can't fight against God? And I don't believe Paul did fight against God. I believe he understood it was a step towards a discipleship, towards learning, towards understanding what God's will and God's purpose was to be done in him. I'd like to read another scripture. It's found in the book of Psalms. Psalms 46 and 10. I was several years ago. I was in the driveway of a house. Won't say where. Wasn't home. And I was really debating a problem. I was really stressed. I really didn't know what to do. But I thought I did. I came to the point where I thought I knew what I was going to do. Finally, I even went to my wife and I said, if so-and-so doesn't die by tomorrow, we're out of here. We're going home. That was my decision. We have our decisions, don't we? We were ministering to someone that was very sick and very feeble. But yet God had his plan. Do you understand the plans of God? Folks, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He understands things more differently. And I was out there in the driveway and I was walking up and down and I was praying, Lord this and Lord that, and Lord if this needs to happen and that needs to happen. I had a brother-in-law here at home. He was dying with cancer. And I had a sister that called me on the phone and told me how much he loved me, and it just broke my heart, and all of these kind of things were just stressing me out. You ever been there? You ever been in those places where things just stressing you out and you're being pulled from one point to another point? So that's when I went and told my wife, I said, well, this is it. We're going home. If so-and-so doesn't happen in a day or two, we're out of here. And then I went back out in the driveway and I'm walking up and down the driveway and I'm talking to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me. And this is what He spoke to me right here. Psalms, He said, you go in and you read Psalms 46 and 10. And that's what I want to read this morning. Lord, help us today. Can He trust us? Can He trust us that we'll be in a place to do His will, to work His purpose in our life? Or are we going to work our own purpose? We're going to have our own way. No, the Lord wants us to surrender to Him. Trust also in the Lord, and He will bring it to pass. I went in and I got my Bible and I got it out and it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. You know, that was a hard thing to do. The Lord said, be still. That was plain enough. I mean, I'm pretty dumb sometimes, but it didn't take a brick to fall on my head to know what God wanted me to do. And He said, be still. Trust in the Lord. The Lord was going to bring everything to pass. I saw things my way, but I didn't see things His way. And that's the way we do some a lot of times. We see things our way, but we don't see things His way. And yet, whose way do we want to have? We want to have His way and His will done in our life. So I went inside and I read that and it said, be still. Be still. So we stayed. And I went to my wife and I said, we ain't going nowhere. She said, we're not. I thought you said we was going home in a day or two. And I said, can't. Can't go until the work is done right here. I remember very vividly in my mind, it's been a few years ago, and I remember that the sister passed. And I remember doing her funeral on Friday. And my brother-in-law passed too. And I wasn't there. I said, Lord, why can't I be there? The Lord said, you know, He brought to my mind when Martha and Mary called for the Lord. And they said, Lazarus, whom you loveth, he's dying. He's sick. And he wanted him to come and pray for him. Well, he lingered there 2 days, didn't he? 2 or 3 days. And finally, when he went, Lazarus was dead and already buried. And I thought, why couldn't I be there, Lord? And the Lord said, I wasn't there when Lazarus died. And the scripture bears out that he loved him. He loved him. He wasn't family, but he loved him. At least I don't think he was family. I said, why couldn't I be there? The Lord said, I wasn't there either. And it says the Pharisees and the other people, the Sadducees, they comforted Martha and Mary. And when the Lord did come, and He was walking down the road, and they met Him there on the road, they went out one at a time, Martha, then Mary. And they went out there and said, the Lord calls for you. And they said, Lord, what did they say to Him? They both said the same thing. You remember that? They said, Lord, if you'd have been here. Folks, sometimes we don't understand. The Lord's there. He's there. We may not feel it. We may not see it. But He's there. He's always there. He's omnipresent. He's always there. Said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. They understood that part. You see how weak and feeble that we really are as humans? We understand the part. Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died because you'd have prayed for him and raised him up. And the Lord talked about the resurrection. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. There was something greater the Lord wanted to show them. There was something greater the Lord wanted them to understand. Oh, I want to get a hold of that. I want to get a hold of the depths of His love, the depths of His Word, the depths of His purpose. I want to be a good disciple of the Lord. I want to follow Him in truth and righteousness. I want to be faithful at my post of duty. We preached the sister's funeral on Friday and came home, and on Monday we preached the brother-in-law's funeral. And the Lord had it all worked out all the time. It was all in His hands. The Lord is so faithful and so good. Be still and know that I am God. We want Him to be exalted, folks. We want Him to be lifted up. Do you know sometimes the Lord's going to permit you to be put into a vise, so to speak? Put you in a vise where He can hold you in place and He can talk to you and He can work with you. You know, you put something in a vise. I was a mechanic for 30 years at GM. And when we wanted to work on a piece of metal, we put it into a vise, and that way it couldn't get away from us. And it was in a solid place where we could work on it and do what we needed to do. The Lord's going to do that with us too. If we keep wiggling out of His will and of His purpose in our life, folks, our success at being a good disciple is going to be limited. It's going to be limited. We're going to displease the Lord, and we're just going to hurt ourselves. Just hurt nobody but yourself. The first verse of this chapter, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I am so glad that He knows that my strength is not good enough. My strength is not enough. Your strength is not enough. He knows that we need His strength. He knows that we need His grace in order to bring us through these places. Do you know that be still in the Hebrew means the same, has the same meaning as when a man, it says be still, and how does it say that? Be still and know that I am God. It has the same meaning in knowing that He is God as a man did in the Old Testament whenever it says a man knew his wife. You know what that means. It means intimately. The Lord wants us to have a communion with Him that is intimate. He wants to bring us close to Him. He wants to bring us close to His fellowship. Close. He wants us to see His love. He wants us to see His power. He wants us to see His glory in a greater measure and in a greater way. Disciples, all He has, all He is ours to draw from as we surrender to His love, as we surrender to His purpose. It may be hidden from us, but as we surrender, He will reveal it to us. He will give us understanding. He is asking us to say yes to Him. Discipline really is about knowing Him. You know Him. You think about Job, don't you? I said I probably wasn't going to talk about anyone else but Job. When he started out, a lot of bad things happened to him. And he went through those trials and tests. The Lord disciplining him. But at the end, he said, I once heard of Him by the hearing of the ear. Now I see Him. Now I see Him. I see who He really is. I see His great love and His great power and what He can and will do. Folks, we're here for a temporary time. Let's let the Lord work on our hearts. He disciplines us through the Spirit. My time, my energy, my focused thoughts are all the things that draw me to know Him more and more. Lord, help us to live in the Spirit. Placing ourselves in the front of God and allowing Him to transform me every day, every hour, with every interaction that He has with us. placing myself in front of God. You know, the Jesus told us, the angels, behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. The angels placed themselves in front of God. Wouldn't it be nice if God could just plain guide us with his eye? Guide us with his eye. Just look at us. And we get the understanding. We get the message. We know what God wants. We know what God means. I don't want to work my way into God's good graces, but I want to relinquish my struggle to be something he approves of and placing myself at his mercy so he can transform me. Isn't that what it says in the 12th chapter of Hebrews? How does it say that over there? He will transform thee by the Romans. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Be transformed. Transform means you're going to have an act of change in this process. Be still. But it's going to take being still to do that, isn't it? It's going to take us getting God's attention or paying attention to God so we can get to that place where he can trust us. The Apostle Paul told us, and I'm not going to talk much longer, he told us that he would finish the work which he has started on every one of us. And that's my words. He will finish the work in what he has started. The Lord will finish the work. There's just one thing that I want to mention here. He'll finish the work, but you got a will. And I got a will. This will that we have has the same deficiency. Can I say it that way? It has the same deficiency as the law. It can only deal with the externals. You may have a strong will. You may will this and you may will that, but folks, you can only deal with the externals. You cannot deal with the soul that God has given you. It is incapable, the will, of bringing about a necessary transformation of the inner spirit. There's a spirit in man. We all know that. You all have one. We all have the spirit that God has given us. When we see striving to gain inner transformation through human powers and will and determination. Oh, I'm determined. Some people are real determined. Being determined about the right things. We open up ourselves to a new realization. Inner righteousness is a gift from God. It isn't something you and I can obtain in either any other way. It's a gift from God. Inner righteousness is his gift, and it's to be graciously received. The inner change that you and I have experienced of his love and of his power and of his grace, it's his change. It's not ours. It's not your will. It's not your determination that made that change. God made that change. It's only when I surrender to his will, to his purpose. It's only when I do this, and I stop striving with my own life, and I stop wanting to have my own way and do my own purpose things in life, and place myself in the front of the one who loves me most, and he has ordained me to do the work that he has for me to do. The Lord's got something for every one of you to do. But he has to work on us first, doesn't he? He has to get us to surrender. He has to bring us and help us to realize that it's not our will. It's not our determination. But folks, righteousness, salvation is a gift from God. It only comes from God. It only works through God. You and I can't work out our righteousness. It says, work out your own, what does it say?
Salvation
in fear and trembling. before the Lord. And we need to work on that thing. We need to surrender, and we need to let Him put the righteousness within us. It comes from God. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from me, but it comes from God. And I want to be faithful in all those things. I think I'll stop now. Amen.